This evening we're continuing our overview of the fourth book found in the Old Testament titled Numbers. And here in Numbers chapter 7, we find the Lord, He's calling the people of God to support the ministry there at the tabernacle. And as we develop our text tonight, we're going to consider how God helps us to grow personally, both through what we give in support of His work, and also through what we receive from His work. And so with that, let's begin our study of Numbers chapter 7. I want to begin there at verse 1. And there we learn that it came to pass when Moses had finished setting up the tabernacle, that he anointed it and consecrated it and all its furnishings, and the altar and all its utensils. So he anointed them and consecrated them. Then the leaders of Israel, the heads of their fathers' houses, who were the leaders of the tribes and over those who were numbered, made an offering. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox. And they presented them before the tabernacle. Well, here in these verses, we find the people of God, and they're really responding to the directions that God had given them throughout the first 6 chapters of the book. And so, remember, God had instructed them on who would lead each tribe in the militaries, and they counted up all the guys who could fight. And, you know, He just gave them all that direction on how they would pick up and move their camp and move on to the next location. And here in this text, we find them responding to the Lord's directions with just spontaneous generosity. Look again there at verse 3 where Moses tells us that the leaders of the 12 tribes, they got together and they brought their offering before the Lord. Now, I should point out that this offering wasn't something that was commanded by God to give, and it wasn't demanded by Moses to give. Instead, it would just seem as if these men were just so moved by the goodness of God that they pooled their resources together and they presented this free will offering to the Lord. And we should notice there in verse 3 that this offering included 6 covered carts and 12 oxen, a cart for every 2 of the leaders, and for each one an ox, all of which was presented to Moses there at the tabernacle. Now, as we consider the way that the children of Israel were nomads during this time period, they were traveling through the wilderness to the promised land, and so a cart in this day and age during that time period, giving someone a cart would kind of be like giving someone a truck here in our day and age. I mean, this was like, hey, here's a truck. Thanks. That would be really nice to receive a truck, especially if you were part of the Levite group that was commanded to pick up all of this heavy equipment from the tabernacle and move it to the next location. And so this idea of, you know, these leaders getting together and giving these 6 carts with the oxen to pull those carts. I mean, based on this text, I've concluded that it would only be right for the leaders here at Calvary South to chip in and buy me a Hummer. You know, I think that that would be a good plan. You guys can say amen to that if you'd like. All right, well, this might be a little scripture twisting. I'll move on. Seriously, though, this act of giving 6 carts and 12 oxen was huge. That was a huge gift. And yet I believe that this is what God had put in their hearts to give. And so they gave. And I think that God put this in their hearts to give this for good reason. And as we consider this, before we move on in our text, I can't help but to be reminded of the way that the Christians of the first century church gave from their hearts. They were so moved by the free gift of salvation that they became generous givers. And in order to more fully develop this, hold your place there in number 7. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And as you're turning to Acts chapter 4, I want to consider how God is calling every Christian to become a generous giver. The reason why I'm so certain of this, it's this. God has predestined Christians to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We know that because Paul said so. God has predestined Christians to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And so our lives should begin to more and more every day become a lot more like Jesus. And since that's the case, then it only makes sense that we become generous givers because Jesus was a generous giver. Remember, He gave His life for us. For God so loved the world that He gave. God is a giver, and Jesus gave His life for us. And it only makes sense then that those who are following Jesus will also become generous givers. And much like the leaders of the 12 tribes, they gave these six carts and the oxen to pull those carts. The Christians of the early church were also moved by the Spirit to give what they could. Check out Acts 4 there, beginning at verse 32. Luke tells us there that the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each as anyone had need. Well, here we see that those who had been blessed by the grace of God, those who had received the forgiveness of sins, that free gift of salvation, they were so moved by their gift of salvation that they took the excess of what they had. It's not like they just went and said, oh, I'm not going to own a house anymore, I'll sell the house. That's not what they did. They took what they had excess. They took the overage of what they owned, and they sold what they didn't need, and they took that money and they gave it to the church, and the apostles took that money and distributed it amongst those who were needy. Now, I need to point out that no one is going to be saved because they became generous givers. We don't get saved because we're generous, but because we are saved, then we ought to become generous givers because Jesus is a generous giver. And while the first century church revealed the model for us here in our day and age, the first century church revealed that taking up this financial collection and distributing that amongst the church as needed, that's the model for us. But the leaders of the 12 tribes, they gave these six carts and 12 oxen at the door of the tabernacle. And looking back at Numbers chapter 7, we find Moses, he receives the gifts according to the direction given by the Lord. Check out verse 4 there. Because there in verse 4, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, accept these from them, that they may be used in doing the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall give them to the Levites, to every man according to his service. So Moses took the carts and the oxen and gave them to the Levites. Two carts and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service, and four carts and eight oxen he gave to the sons of Merari according to their service, under the authority of Ithamar the son of Aaron the priest. But the sons of Kohath he gave none, because theirs was the service of the holy things which they carried on their shoulders. Wait a minute. What just happened? Here we see God telling Moses to give the carts and oxen to the Levites. Okay, great. It only makes sense to me then that each of the three families would get a third of the carts. But rather than dividing up these gifts among the three sons of Levi, Moses gave four carts and eight oxen to the sons of Merari, and he gave two carts and four oxen to the sons of Gershon, and the sons of Kohath, they got nothing. Now, if I'm part of the family of Merari, I'm like, sweet, we got four carts. If I'm part of, you know, the sons of Gershon, I'm like, well, you know, we didn't do too bad, we got two carts. But if I'm from the family of Kohath, I'd be like, what gives? We got nothing. Not even one cart. I mean, he could have at least given us one cart and two oxen, right? I mean, what's up with that? Well, in order to understand why these gifts were divided up in this seemingly unfair way, it'll help to understand that God gave these carts and the corresponding oxen to the children of Levi according to their calling. Notice again there in verse 7 where Moses tells us that two carts and four oxen he gave to the sons of Gershon according to their service. Remember, the sons of Gershon, they were commanded to carry the coverings and the hangings of the tabernacle, these woven linens, and you know, that stuff really wasn't that heavy. They only really needed two carts to accomplish what God had called them to do. Moses also tells us there in verse 8 that the Lord told him to give four carts and eight oxen to the sons of Merari according to their service. You might remember that we studied how Merari and his family, they were in charge of carrying the heavy, bulky materials, including the boards and the bars and the pillars and the sockets, and they had all the heavy-duty stuff that they were carrying with them. These guys needed four carts and eight oxen to accomplish their task. Finally, we learn that the sons of Kohath, they didn't get a single cart, and they received zero oxen. And the reason why is due to the fact that they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, as well as the menorah. And God told them to carry these things with poles on their shoulders. And so if God had given them carts, wouldn't he actually have been tempting them to sin? If God said, here's some carts and some oxen, don't use them to move anything. I mean, that's just temptation now, right? And so why would God tempt them to sin by giving them carts and oxen? That doesn't make good sense at all. From this, I'd like to suggest that God always gives us what we need to accomplish His calling. He always gives us exactly what we need to accomplish His calling. And so there are times when He also withholds what we'd like to have so that we can't accomplish His calling according to His direction. There are times when He withholds something that we'd like to have because He knows that if He gave it to us, we'd stumble in sin. Therefore, whenever we see the Lord blessing someone else with something that we'd like to have, I'd like to have a cart. I'd like to have a couple of oxen. Why isn't God giving me that stuff? Well, we have to remember that when we set out to serve Him, He always gives us what we need, and at the same time, He also helps us to escape temptation by withholding that which will cause us to sin. Therefore, if God isn't giving you something that you've been praying for, don't get upset with God, because the chances are He's saying, no, I can't give this to you, because if I give this to you, you're going to sin with it. And He'd keep you from that. He plans to keep you from the hour of temptation, and so He's not going to put something into your hands that He knows you're going to turn around and just use to sin with. Praise the Lord for that. Well, here we see that those who have truly received God's grace, we will be moved by the Spirit to give to the work of God, much like the leaders there of Israel. We also see that God will supply every need to those who will simply dedicate ourselves to His service. If we would simply just step up and say, I'll serve you, God, then He'll call us into that position. He'll equip us to accomplish His calling, and He'll give us everything that we need to accomplish what He's calling us to do. But now, I want to consider the importance of our dedication to the Lord, because a lot of this is based on our own dedication to Him. But then we must not forget that He's also dedicated Himself to us. And so let's consider the importance of this dedication. And I'd like to do so by considering the dedication offering of the Israelites found here in this chapter. If you want to check out number 7 there, we're beginning there at verse 10, where Moses tells us that the leaders offered the dedication offering for the altar when it was anointed. So the leaders offered their offering before the altar. For the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offering one liter each day for the dedication of the altar. Here in these verses, we're talking about a different offering now besides the carts and the oxen. And we find the Lord, He's directing Moses to lead the leaders of each tribe to offer this dedication offering, you know, for the altar there. And we see that this dedication offering would be offered on 12 consecutive days. And so all of these offerings weren't offered on one day, but they were offered on 12 consecutive days, which each tribe would present their dedication offering on their prescribed day. And beginning there at verse 12, Moses tells us that the one who offered his offering on the first day was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, from the tribe of Judah. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering. One kid of the goats as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offering, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year, and a partridge and a pear tree. No, I'm sorry. That's not there at all, is it? This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Now, I should tell you up front that this same dedication offer that we just read, we're going to read it several more times here in our text tonight. And as we read through the rest of this chapter tonight, we're going to consider the different aspects of this offering that was offered by each of the 12 tribes. It's necessary, that we read through all of this text. Why? Because God saw fit to put it in here, and so we're just going to read through all of it. But we have to understand that there's different aspects to this offering that we're going to consider as we go through this text. And we're going to see that each of the 12 tribes gave the same exact offering. Each of the 12 tribes gave the same exact offering because this is the offering that God was requiring. Regardless of their wealth, regardless of the size of the tribe, regardless of anything, God's saying this is the offering that you're going to give. And it's my opinion that this is the case, that each of the 12 tribes gave the same exact offering because this offering actually points to the same Messiah. And each of the 12 tribes needed the same Messiah to be saved. And since the Messiah actually came from the tribe of Judah, well, then it only makes sense that Judah would present the offering first. Well, then beginning there at verse 18, Moses tells us that on the second day, Nethanel, the son of Zuar, leader of Issachar, presented an offering. For his offering, he offered one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Nethanel, the son of Zuar. Well, here in these verses, we see that just like the leader from the tribe of Judah, the leader of Issachar presented one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels. And this offering also included one silver bowl that weighed 70 shekels. I want to point out that silver, this is a precious metal, which it's rare, it's extremely strong, and it's resistant to corrosion. And so I believe that these plates and bowls, they were presented as a dedication offering, and in this way it seems to point to the uniqueness of the only begotten Son of God, the Messiah, who is strong and completely resistant to corrosion. And so I think that the Lord is revealing that purity of the Messiah here in these silver articles. Then beginning here at verse 24, Moses tells us that it was on the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, leader of the children of Zebulun, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and for the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in the first year. This was the offering of Eliab, the son of Helon. On the fourth day, Elizur, the son of Shedur, leader of the children of Reuben, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in the first year. This was the offering of Eliezer, the son of Shedur. Well, here in these verses, we find the leaders of the tribes of Zebulun and Reuben. They're presenting their offerings on the third and the fourth days. And we see this platter and this bowl, these silver articles, they were both filled with fine flour mixed with oil. And this was presented to the Lord as a grain offering, according to the grain offering that we studied when we went through the book of Leviticus. And listen, the grain and the oil, these were both products that needed to be harvested. And in this concept of harvest, this idea of harvesting crops, it was necessary to present this grain offering. Therefore, this portion of the dedication offering, it could point to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It could also point to His Great Commission. And so I like to consider this grain offering as pointing to either the resurrection of Christ or the Great Commission by which we go out and harvest souls in the name of Jesus. Then beginning there at verse 36, Moses tells us that it was on the fifth day, Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, leader of the children of Simeon, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels. And one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai. On the sixth day, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, leader of the children of Gad, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil and as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. Here in these verses, we find the leaders of the tribes of Simeon and the tribe of Gad presenting their dedication offerings, and they did so on the 5th and then on the 6th days. And Moses tells us that this dedication offering also included one gold pan of 10 shekels, or that was the weight of this gold pan. And this gold pan that weighed 10 shekels, it was full of incense. And as I consider this portion of the dedication offering, I'm reminded of the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh that was presented to Mary and Joseph at the time of Jesus' birth. And so with that, I think of the birth of our Savior through this portion of the offering. Then beginning there at verse 48, Moses tells us that it was on the 7th day, Elishama, the son of Ammihud, a leader of the children of Ephraim, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Elishama, the son of Ammihud. On the 8th day, Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur, leader of the children of Manasseh, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Gamaliel, the son of Pedahzur. I'm sure when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a lot of apologies to people who they're just going to be like, "You really blew my name. Yeah, I'm sorry." Here in these verses, we find the leaders of these tribes of Ephraim and then Manasseh. They're presenting their dedications on the 7th and the 8th days. And we see that this offering presented by these tribes, they included this burnt offering that we studied when we went through the book of Leviticus. And this burnt offering included one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year. And this was that burnt offering. And since the burnt offering was entirely consumed by the Lord, it reminds me of how Jesus Christ offered himself entirely. It makes me think about the way that Jesus came, and he didn't say, "Here's a part of me," but he said, "Here's all of me." He laid aside his glory. He took on the frail human flesh, and he offered himself entirely on the cross for our sins. And all that so that we could be saved. Well, beginning there at verse 60, Moses tells us that it was on the 9th day, Abidan, the son of Gideoni, the leader of the children of Benjamin, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Abidan, the son of Gideoni. On the 10th day, Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai, leader of the children of Dan, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, one gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, and one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 male goats, and 5 male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Ahiezer, the son of Amishaddai. Here in these verses, we find the leaders of the tribes of Benjamin and Dan. They're presenting their dedication offerings on the 9th and the 10th days, which means we only have 2 more to go. And Moses points out here that this offering included the sin offering of one kid of the goats. Without a doubt, this portion of this dedication offering, it reminds us of the way that the Messiah was the Lamb of God. When he came down to be baptized, John the Baptist pointed at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so this represents, this portion of this dedication offering, it points to Jesus, who is the sacrificial Lamb who died for our sins. Well, finally, beginning here at verse 72, Moses revealed that it was on the 11th day, Pagiel, the son of Ochran, leader of the children of Asher, presented an offering. His offering was one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Pagiel, the son of Ochran. On the 12th day, Ahira, the son of Enan, leader of the children of Naphtali, presented an offering. His offering was, guess what? Here it is. Just in case you're confused, one silver platter, the weight of which was 130 shekels, and one silver bowl of 70 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering. One gold pan of 10 shekels full of incense, one young bull, one ram, one male lamb in its first year as a burnt offering, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, and as the sacrifice of peace offerings, two oxen, five rams, five male goats, and five male lambs in their first year. This was the offering of Ahira, the son of Enan. Well, here in these verses, we find the leaders of the tribes of Asher and Naphtali. They're presenting their dedication offerings on the 11th and the 12th days. And Moses revealed that this dedication offering, it included the sacrifice of the peace offerings, which included those two oxen and the five rams and five male goats and the five male lambs in their first year. From this, we must understand that those who want to have peace with God must accept the sacrifice offering that He sent, which is Jesus Christ. And as the world runs around seeking peace in all these different things, they don't find it. And why? Because true peace, the peace that we desire in our hearts, is peace with God. And the peace that we have with God, well, it's based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our promised Messiah. Well, just in case you're not good with math, Moses took all these offerings and added them up for us. And so beginning here at verse 84, Moses continues to describe this dedication offering by revealing that this was the dedication offering for the altar from the leaders of Israel when it was anointed. 12 silver platters, 12 silver bowls, 12 gold pans. Each silver platter weighed 130 shekels and each bowl 70 shekels. All the silver of the vessels weighed 2,400 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. 12 gold pans full of incense weighed 10 shekels apiece, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the pans weighed 120 shekels. All of the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 young bulls, the rams 12, the male lambs in their first year 12, with the grain offering and the kids of the goats as a sin offering 12. And all the oxen for the sacrifice of peace offerings were 24 bulls, the rams 60, the male goats 60, and the lambs in their first year 60. This was the dedication offering for the altar after it was anointed. Well, here in these verses we discover after this dedication offering was presented, and this was a big offering, and it took 12 days to offer it all up before the Lord. But as this was happening, it was being anointed. And through this anointing and through this offering, it was being used as a way of establishing this connection between the children of Israel and the Lord. And there in the final verse of this chapter, Moses tells us that this offering was acceptable. And he shows us that because he informs us there how he went into the tabernacle of meeting to speak with him, that being God. He heard the voice of one speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim. Thus he spoke to him. So we see then that after this entire ceremony, after this 12-day celebration, after all of this was offered up to the Lord there at the tabernacle, God said, "This is pleasing to me. This is acceptable for now." And as a result, the Lord met with Moses there in the Holy of Holies and spoke with him from the mercy seat. And listen, while this is incredible to imagine that after this entire dedication offering was presented there at the tabernacle, the Creator and the Sustainer of life, the very Creator of heaven and earth, actually met Moses there at the tabernacle. How incredible to imagine. And yet, how much more amazing is it that the very same Lord, the very same Creator, the very same God that met with Moses there in the Holy of Holies is always ready to meet with us at the throne of grace at any moment of any day. This is what they had to go through because it was prior to the coming of Jesus Christ. all we have to do now, because Jesus has come and fulfilled all of these symbols, everything that these offerings present to us, Jesus fulfilled. Everything that these guys were showing to us through their example, it's all been fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And now all we have to do to enter into the presence of God and have that kind of conversation that Moses was having with him is to simply pray. To simply open God's Word and read it. And say, Lord, would you speak to me through it? Now that's amazing. That is truly amazing that this God, who revealed the importance of this dedication offering, fulfilled these things in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Christian, listen, Jesus came and fulfilled all of the symbols of this dedication offering by offering himself as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And now, the only dedication offering that we need to make, well, it's the dedication offering of our devotion. That's the only dedication offering that he's asking of us now. Just to dedicate a little time in our day to sit down with him, open his word, and pray. Therefore, I'm encouraging all of us here this evening to make a dedication offering to the Lord every day. Maybe that dedication offering is just waking up 30 minutes earlier to spend some time with the Lord. Maybe that dedication offering is just getting aside at lunch and just spending that time with the Lord during your lunch. Maybe that dedication offering is at the end of your day before you turn out the lights and say goodnight, that you're just going to sit there for an hour and just pour over the pages of God's Word and just cry out to Him and ask Him to speak to you through His Word. Whatever that looks like in your own life, I encourage you, make a dedication offering to the Lord every day by simply carving out some time to pray and to read His Word. And then, much like Moses, those who will, well, they'll also enjoy intimate fellowship with the Lord God of heaven and earth. Let's pray.